Happy Palm Sunday, Church in the Valley. We're so glad you guys are here to join us for this week before Easter. If you guys are just joining us in person, you guys can find, of course, the lyric sheets over there by the tables. Or you could pull up on your phones at civalhambra.com. And if you are online, you should be able to click a little link that talks about the lyrics and the sermon notes for today. But whether you are online or you are here, I invite you guys to stand up and sing with us as we sing of God's love for us and how great he has worked things for us.
No more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one great. See what will be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do. And break every chain, oh God. You have the great thing. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifts it high, oh God. You have the great thing. You have the great thing. Oh God, you do great things.
Jeremy, up for some announcements. Give him a hand, guys.
Just finished a few miles just around the neighborhood real quick, but I'm here. Welcome to Church in the Valley. As Victor said, my name is Jeremy, and I'm running late, but you are obviously not. You're here and ready to go. So I want to let you know about a few things going on this morning and then some things coming up in the weeks ahead. First of all, if you would like a... You already have some things in your chair. You got some physical copies of some things. If you'd like physical copies of the lyrics to the songs that we're singing or to the message notes, they are over there on the connections table, and there's also some on the name tag table as well if we run out either place. And so you guys can feel free to grab those and fill out notes. Or if you want to do them digitally, you can also go online to CIVAlhambra.com/Sunday, and you can download both the connection card and the membership card, as well as the sermon notes and the music lyrics as well. If you're a guest with us this morning, we're really glad that you took your Sunday morning, that you could be sleeping in at home and taking time to come out here and check things out here. And so we have a gift for you. It's a book called How Good is Good Enough, and it's written by Andy Stanley. And there's copies of that over on the resource table that we would love for you to have. It's totally free, and so feel free to grab a copy of that for you or for a family member. A few things coming up in the following week. So hard to believe that we're almost at the end of March, which means next Sunday is Easter. And so I know it's gone by super, super fast. But we have Easter next week, and so we're excited for that. And you may have family or friends that would love to come to that, and so feel free to invite them. We're not going to be able to do all the normal games and celebration stuff that we've been able to do in the past, just with our current conditions. But we are going to have a lot of fun things in store. The kids have some prepared goodie bags with different treats and stories and things that they're going to be able to have. So that's going to be fun. Unfortunately, you won't get Easter eggs if you're an adult, but there is going to be refreshments for kids and adults all alike. And so invite your friends and family, and we're going to have a good time getting to celebrate Easter next week. And then we just covered a series on membership and what that kind of looks like here at CIV. And so we're going to have an opportunity for those of you that are wanting to do your membership renewals. That's a card that's on your chairs with the pin there. And so if you haven't gotten a chance to fill it out and just kind of renew your membership here at CIV, that you're kind of wanting to continue to partner and continue to move the mission forward here together, please feel free to fill that out today. And then you guys can drop those in the connection card bucket that's over on the resource table after service today. And then in addition to that, there's also on your chairs the connection card. And so not only can you fill it out just to update any information, if you move, change your email, change your phone number or whatever else, or you have prayer requests, you can mark those on the back. But also we want to use those for a specific purpose today. So we would like you to be able to kind of fill out in the notes section on the back some suggestions related to some things for this summer. So this summer we want to be able to have a variety of different things going on outside of just Sunday morning that's going to really be able to help with some felt needs that you guys have related to things you're wanting to be growing in or learning or just making some progress on. And so if there are different topics that you would like some help on related to that, we might do some different, we might do panels, we might do small group stuff, we might do some seminars and series, stuff like that. But we want to know, just first and foremost, what are some felt needs that you guys have related to that? And then we're going to kind of look at that to kind of make sure we're really scratching where you guys are all itching in terms of topics and stuff, and a variety of ways we can do that for the summer. So if you have those, please fill those out. That'd be helpful. And then last but not least, we have our Discovering CIV class coming up here on April 18th. And that class is really for people that, you know, as you've been part of CIV here and you've just heard this series on membership and you're thinking, hey, you know what, I'm not a member, but I'd like to become one. That's an opportunity for you to come to that class and to hear more, a little bit about what we're about and how you can be a part of joining the team to move the mission forward here at CIV. And so that's going to be from 11:30 to 2 p.m. On Sunday, April 18th, and lunch and childcare is provided for that. If you have kids, you can have that taken care of, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's a class you'd want to take called Discovering CIV. And so if you're interested in taking that to discover more about what it might mean to be a member here, just go ahead and mark down your connection card so we have, you know, enough information ready for you on that day, and food and childcare and all that kind of stuff. And we'd love for you to be able to attend on that. So any, again, prayer requests or survey ideas for the summer or connection card stuff for Discover CIV, just go ahead and mark that on your connection card. And you can also put that along with your membership survey in the basket on your way out today. Or if you give it to someone next to you that you think is really responsible and will remember to put it in that basket, and they can do it. So either way, as long as it gets in the basket, we're good to go. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to invite Rick up here to lead us in a message after another song. Right, Victor? We do another song? All right. You know what? We're going to throw an extra song for you just because we're glad you're here this morning. So bonus song. Father, thank you so much for this group of people here. Thank you for all the members that you really have knit their hearts together to be able to accomplish things here in this city and accomplish things in this area. And I pray that you would continue to draw more and more people to yourself and to really just knit talents and hearts and minds together to really be your hands and feet in this community. Thank you that we get to move forward in this week just remembering and celebrating all you did for us and all you sacrificed for us, and that you did overcome the grave, and we get to celebrate that in a week's time. And so thank you so much for that. Pray you'd really be honored through this time, and people would really learn and apply what you're wanting to teach us this morning. Pray us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us and sing this next song. This song is a song we sing to God, to each other, remind each other of just the forgiveness, the healing, the wholeness that comes when we lay ourselves down at the altar, the throne of God.
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was part of it. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Comes a day.
Forgiveness and life in you. So for all of us who have believed in your name, we say thank you. We say thank you, Jesus, for conquering the grave and for rising again. And we get to celebrate that this month. And we look forward to the day we get to celebrate your resurrection. So speak through Rick. We ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a seat.
Want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship, and I want to thank you for being here. It's you know, a day like this, it's just, you can feel it getting better and better and better in terms of the weather, the warmth. I hope that you've got some wonderful plans. Well, for fun, I'm getting older, so the first thing that came to my mind, some wonderful plans for a nap. But anyway, whatever you need and whatever the Lord has in mind for you. I want to, if you online or here, if you have access on your phone or you have a Bible with you, open to Psalm 22. It's what's on the sermon notes. But before we do that, I'd like to underline something that Jeremy shared about this card, Church in the Valley Membership Covenant. We don't often use that word in everyday conversation, but covenant is a defined written commitment to care. And covenants are always mutual. It's not a one-way covenant. It's a shared covenant. And if you hang out with the Bible very much, you're going to learn right away that the God that is communicated in Scripture is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. In fact, if you look carefully, you realize that what we often call the Old Testament is actually described in the Old Testament as the Mosaic Covenant. And then the New Testament is the new covenant that's in Christ. And I remember Rhonda, a friend of mine, back when actually Aaron and I were in class in Brea years ago, and she said, "Rick, do you know what the most difficult thing in a relationship is? It's when the relationship's undefined." And covenant brings relationship into definition. Now, the God and Father of Jesus Christ is a covenant-making God. It's the way He rolls. God is the kind who wants to go steady from the first date, who wants to really propose on the first date, because He wants to make lasting relationships, and that's what this covenant stuff is about. And so I encourage you to take it seriously. If you want to step into a meaningful life, it's going to require commitment. And covenant is the way to do that. And I'm glad you renew it every year. It's a good thing to do. So I commend that to you. Now, back to Psalm 22. This psalm came on my radar one day when I was trying to finish up high school. It was a Friday night. We had a bunch of fellow students in this big house that the church had bought for students. And I was cooking in the kitchen. I was making oatmeal raisin cookies. Can you smell that? Oatmeal raisin cookies. It doesn't get much better than that. Unless you take two big ones and put cream cheese in between and put it together like that, then you really got something. Well, I was cooking, and these two guys came in. Now, I knew both of them. One guy's name was Larry. The other guy was Bruce. And then kind of trailing behind them was Bruce's girlfriend, Sue. Now, I had been sharing about Jesus with Sue, and I think it made her boyfriend, Bruce, mad. He was kind of a hot-tempered track star anyway. And he's the first, even though I live next door to a Jewish family, he's the first Jewish person I ever had face-to-face communication with. Now, I was a newbie believer, and my assumption was, if you're Jewish, you must have the whole Old Testament memorized. You know, so anything Bruce answered any time we were talking, you know, I just assumed he had the upper ground. He's Jewish. He knows the Old Testament. He can answer everything. Well, when I got home, I opened my Old Testament, and guess what? He lied. He didn't know anything. And I was just dumbfounded because I had to reconfigure my brain, and I'll come back to this, but maturity is the ability to process unexpected reality. Maturity is the ability to process unexpected reality. And so I had to process this information with reference to Bruce. So I'm cooking my oatmeal cookies, and you know, I'd promised everybody, over-promised everything, and so I really wanted to deliver and didn't want to burn them. And these two guys come in, and Larry, who was, you know, light years ahead of me in terms of his knowledge of Scripture and his knowledge of the Lord, he begins sharing with Bruce. So now I'm looking at the oven, and I'm listening with my ear. I was eavesdropping. But I think Larry may have come into the kitchen because he wanted to get away from all the other students, wouldn't be disturbed, and I was just listening. And he told Bruce that God had planned for Jesus, and there's evidence in the Scripture of that planning, really indisputable evidence. And Bruce said, what are you talking about? Well, he began to read from an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, chapter 53, and there's some descriptions in there. It says, with his stripes we're healed. And then he turned in Matthew and showed how Jesus was whipped and had stripes on his back. And you know, and he just goes back and forth between Isaiah 53. And it was my first encounter with the notion of something called prophecy, messianic prophecy. Messianic is sort of the Jewish transliteration of what we call Christ. And so I hadn't ever seen that shared like that before. Prophecy and fulfillment. God says what he's going to do, and then God does it. And it's a way of blowing your mind, because you have to rethink your worldview. There is a God, and God is really getting done what he wants done in order to redeem what was lost to him because of what he calls sin. And this is all, again, caught up in God sending his son, Jesus. And so that was really interesting. Isaiah 53. Remember that. Isaiah 53, you know, while I'm cooking my cookies. And then he turns to Psalm 22. And, my brain kind of had a meltdown. Wait a minute. It's like somehow you came across a movie script that was 800 years old, and the script is happening right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? As you read the verse, first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, in the moment of Jesus being crucified on a Roman cross, he cries out with this psalm, this worship song. It's a cry in the midst of worship. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, the reason that Victor and Hovey and the team teach us these songs is because in times of trouble, these songs can come to us in the night, and we can cry out, we can sing. And this is what Jesus does. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And those are quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Jesus is drawing our attention to Psalm 22. But as we go along through Psalm 22, you will see that there are some words and some things that are described there that it's as if God is, who is omniscient and forever and eternal, he said, this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell it to David 800 years before it happens, and then it's going to happen. And for us at this point, we can look and see at that, and we realize how much God is in charge. Even though he's invisible, he's the one that's in charge. He's the real boss. You know, people, kings, presidents, despots, military, they may think they're in charge. They're not. The Lord is in charge. And that's what's coming through, especially when it seems like life has gotten out of control. And you're in such difficulty, you think God must be a long ways away. In the early 90s, Bette Midler covered a song, and I thought the name of the song was From a Distance. I thought I kind of gave away my punchline here. I thought it was God is Watching. Remember that? God is Watching from a Distance. From a Distance. Now, that kind of bugged me. It was such a beautiful, haunting, secular hymn. You know, it's during Desert Storm, it became a number one hit, and she did such a great job. God is Watching from a distance. But the scripture says God is a present help, not a distant help, in times of trouble. But when I'm in trouble and God is not actively rescuing me, I feel like he must be distant, don't you? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now we say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Let's take a vote on that. You know, how many of you think absence makes the heart grow fonder? All right? Very few. How many think absence makes the heart grow colder? Okay. Most of you are abstaining wisely. You know, there is a season in relationships where maybe a little distance, a little absence might allow perspective to come back in. You know, there is a time when you can't really say anything kindly. You're too angry and bugged, so you need a little space. That's when absence makes the heart grow fonder. But neglect of relationship does not make the heart grow fonder. Distance is disturbing. Drawing close, communicating. Communication is the most difficult thing we do, but good communication permits progress. Millard Erickson, who's kind of one of my theological heroes, in his 1,000-page book, there's at least one super page. And in this super page, he talks about absence. He says it this way. There are two kinds of absence that can engineer unbelief. So if you don't really believe in Christ today, probably it's one of these two factors make that a reality for you. The first is the absence of the experience of God. You know, hanging out here is a good God experience. Reading the Bible is a great experience. Talking with other Christians is a good way to experience God. But many people have the absence of the experience of God. They've never had that. That's new stuff, new territory, new language. So that's one thing. And, you know, Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes of hearing the words of God, hearing, reading the scripture, listening to the scripture, listening to the preacher talk about the scripture. So absence of the experience of God. But then he says, there is also something that is like the experience of the absence of God. You know, where you and I have had the expectation, somebody promised us, maybe I promised myself, maybe I promised for God that he would show up like this at this time, and he didn't show up. I had an expectation, and it was met. I'm disillusioned because God didn't show up. God was watching at a distance, but that's not what Scripture says. And Psalm 22 makes it so powerful when you understand that this is one of the last words of Jesus. And, you know, last words are very, very important, very significant for understanding people and their life. My God, why have you forsaken me? We're a week away from Easter. And next Friday will be Good Friday, where we remember Christ's death for us, his crucifixion, on that start of the Passover weekend. And the way Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these witnesses to the crucifixion, presented in what we call the Gospels, is they share these seven last words of Jesus. And I included them in the notes there, if you've got access to the notes. The first one is Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if you are ever in downtown Los Angeles, not so far from here, go to the Catholic Cathedral there. Go inside. They have some beautiful artwork. But go outside and round the corner, away from whatever that main street that goes right down there. There's a statue on the ground, so to speak, and Christ is being crucified on the ground. And what's quoted there is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, Jesus is asking that with reference to those that were crucifying him. And the second one is, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, if you've ever been to an Eastern Orthodox church, their cross looks a little different than maybe what we're normal about. You know, it has this piece and this piece. It also has a piece going across the top because there was a sign about who Jesus was. You know, this is the King of the Jews in several different languages. But at the bottom, there's another piece about, the, you know, cross piece, but it's tilted. And the reason it's tilted is because Jesus was crucified between two thieves. There were three people there being crucified. And as people began to sneer and mock Jesus, one of them started joining in that too. You know, he's looking over at Jesus and mocking him as well. But this other guy on the other side, he senses something else is going on here with this guy. I've never met anybody like this. Now I'm just supposing what's going on in his mind. And he says at some point to the guy on the far side, really says, "Shut up. This man has done nothing wrong, and you and I have been criminals all our lives." And Jesus turns to that guy and says, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And that's why that bottom part of the cross is tilted this way, because of this second saying of Jesus on the cross. Then, the next one, the third one, "A woman, behold your son." Now, Jesus was the oldest in the family, and so it's his responsibility to take care of his mother. And John was one of the closest apostles to Jesus, and he's there, a witness to Christ being crucified. And he sees Mary, he sees John, and so he makes the connection right there. Take care of my mom. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." You know, even as he's dying. Then the next saying is the one that we're looking at. My God, why have you forsaken me? Following that are two of the shorter ones. "I thirst. I'm thirsty." And they brought him, reached up to give him a sponge that was full of vinegar. And then just as he's dying, he says, "It is finished." Now, it's one word in the Greek, and it really means paid in full. That everything the Father asked of the Son, he paid it in full. That the Father might redeem us and purchase us to himself. Our sin problem has been dealt with on the cross fully and completely. It's been paid. Now, there is a verse in Scripture that says, there is therefore now those, you know, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter something or other. No, it's Romans chapter 8. And what that means is when we give our lives to follow Christ, there will be moments when you and I will feel condemnation. We're worthless. We're not very good at this. And then this verse comes to mind. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. And the Scripture talks about the adversary, the devil, who wants to make us worthless, throwing thoughts in our minds, and we think they're from the Lord. They're not. We think they're from ourselves. They're not. They're just his whispering in our ear to make us feel useless. And this verse, it is paid. If you ever pay off your car or pay off your mortgage, the bank can't send you any more of those. You know that? They can't send you more bills. It's paid. I just love that. To remind people in Charleston, South Carolina, whenever somebody paid off their house, they painted their door red. That way, the mortgage collector, "Dude, my house is paid for. Get lost. It's mine. It's paid for." And that's what Jesus has done for us. For us. We didn't do it ourselves. He did it for us. It's paid for. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's complete. God had always been planning to get us back. Always. And now he's made it happen. He's purchased us. Then the last one is the death prayer of Jesus. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He gave himself up to the Father. He's been faithful, and now he returns. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." You might want to take some time this week to read those last seven words of Jesus as you prepare for Good Friday and for Easter. I commend it to you. Now, the person, David, it's attributed to David or someone who knows how to write psalms like David, songs like David. This person is in trouble. They feel forsaken. It's such bad trouble. And look at verses 2 through 5. This kind of describes the nature of the trouble. My God, I cry by day, but you don't answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. Now, we've talked about this before. When you, it's like your faith feels shaken. A good thing to do is to remember how God has worked in your life in the past, how God has kept promises, how God has heard your prayers, and reflect on the history of this church and how God has worked and moved and answered. Reflect in Scripture. And that's where this person is going, looking back at the story of Israel. And then it has this great verse 3, you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Now, there is a paraphrase translation that I'm not sure it's accurate, but I think it's kind of fun. It says, basically, God, I am suffering down here, but you're sitting back on the cushions in heaven. You're enthroned on the praises. Now, I prefer this translation even better because when you're in trouble, this may sound paradoxical, but that's the best time to sing worship songs, when you're in trouble. There's a book called From Prison to Praise. So amazing things happen when you and I will praise from a broken heart. Suffering always feels like forsakenness. And you may have dragged yourself to church this day, dragged yourself to the computer to watch because you feel forsaken, but you showed up. God's silence is not due to his absence. God's silence is not a sign of absence. During seasons of suffering, expect discouragers who will say, well, I thought God heard your prayers. Doesn't seem like he's answering your prayers. And you may even try to kind of discourage yourself. Don't be surprised when discouragers show up and pop out of the woodwork like cockroaches. It just comes. It's just the way it happens in this fallen world. Verse 7, everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. And then verse 8. Now remember, I'm still cooking my oatmeal cookies with raisins. I added extra brown sugar. You can smell them. And then Larry reads to Bruce this verse. He relies on the Lord, let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him. Okay. That's sort of a common way of being taunted. You know, I'm just going to sit back here, let you suffer, and if God is really going to hear, let's see what's going to happen. And that's kind of what's going down here. But this exact thing, these words, are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now think about this. How could that happen? You know, Jesus was trained in synagogue school, so we know how he knew Psalm 22. But how did those people who were taunting know to use the very words that are in Psalm 22 too? And what I saw Larry talking to Bruce about is, okay, there's something going on with this book. There's evidence, there's data in this book that demands reconfiguring how I think about reality, that God is in charge in this book. And a lot of people don't want to read the Bible because you don't want to get that data in front of you that makes you change the way you think about reality. But that's what's going on in this psalm. Check out Luke. Check out Matthew's account, where those that are watching Jesus be crucified, where the Pharisees, scribes, they're saying, okay, look, You know, he claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ. Let's see him get down off this cross. Let's see an answer here. And remember that these witnesses heard those words said by the enemies of Jesus, just like are in Psalm 22. I don't think they were reading from Psalm 22. Verse 9, you took me from the womb, making me secure while at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You've been my God from my mother's womb. Do not be far from me, because distress is near and there is no one to help. I think it's a great time for you and I to remember, when we go through this kind of difficulty, that as Paul said to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against this day. God is good at keeping commitments and covenants. He's not good at forsaking. Do you understand? God's a keeper, and he will keep you if you'll give your life to him. There's one other thing that Larry shared with Bruce. In verse 18 and 21, it says, they divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. Well, the thing that happens at the bottom of the cross, they divided up the possessions of Jesus, because dead men have no possessions, and he's about to die. In fact, you know, that phrase, dead men walking, not dead yet, but as good as dead. So the Roman soldiers got anything they wanted. Well, it so happened that Jesus had this seamless coat, woven coat. And, you know, they don't want to tear off the sleeves or anything like that. So they said, let's throw dice to see who wins it. And so they're gambling at the foot of the cross to get the possessions of Jesus, who's dying up on the cross. And this is exactly what is described in Psalm 22. Now, Larry asked Bruce, who do you think this is talking about? I don't think King David ever had that experience. So it can't be about David. Who could it be about? Well, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John realized is we saw what God saw 800 years ago and puts in Psalm 22. That's what's going on in this book. Amazing. Verse 21. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. If you read through this whole thing, it talks about dogs that are biting at me, strong bulls that have surrounded me with their horns, and then lions. So this is a way of, how do you describe things when you are surrounded by enemies who are hurting you? Well, this is the way it's described in the psalm. And then I remember years ago, I realized that at some point in my life, I may be in an emergency emotional situation. And you remember how you go down some halls and it says, in case of emergency, break this glass? You ever seen that? I thought, I need to get one of those. But I need to decide what is on the other side of the glass for me. In case of emergency, what have I got there? I think you and I should consider, in case of emergency, reading Psalm 22. In case of emergency, reading this psalm. The most important word in the psalm in the original language is in verse 21b. It's the last word in verse 21 in the original, and it really says, he answered me. He answered me. He answered me. He heard me. Not from a distance. He answered me. And when you and I cry out, God's not deaf. He can hear. And when he hears us, he will answer us. And that's the point we need to hear, that God hears. Verse 23, all you descendants of Israel, revere him. Now, something profound happens when you haven't experienced God answering your prayer. When you have the experience, God has heard me, God has answered me, you change, and you become a call to worship. You know, somebody here today has had God answer them in a very unique way. Maybe today, maybe this week. And the truth is, you'd like to stand up on your chair, stand up on your couch if you're at home, and say, God hears. Worship Him. Worship Him. Don't go through the motions. Worship Him with all your heart and with all your mind. And that's what happens here. All you descendants of Israel, revere Him. You know, we thought Victor was in charge of the worship, but I'm in charge right now. All of you, worship Him. Worship Him with all your heart, with all your soul. That's what happens to this guy. Revere Him, for He has not despised or detested the torment of the afflicted. God sees the affliction you're going through. He did not hide His face from him, but listened when he cried for help. So two things. Take it as a principle. God hears us in our affliction. If you're in trouble, cry out to God. If you're in trouble today, maybe you see the handwriting on the wall, what's going to happen on April 15th when you don't turn in your taxes? Or when you don't have all the tax bill covered? Maybe you got a doctor's report. Maybe a relationship has just absolutely failed. You're in affliction. Cry out. Worship the Lord in your time of affliction. Now, here's a bigger principle. Larry didn't ask Bruce this, but I wish he had. I wish I'd asked Bruce this. Bruce, what is the Shema? That's the Hebrew word for hear. And the most important word for them is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. God doesn't change. He's one. He's the same. He's a union. He's a community. Hear, O Israel. Hear it. Hear it. Know it. Believe it. Trust it. Hear, O Israel. If I will hear God, guess what? He will hear me. It's a reciprocal covenant relationship. If I'm a person who's hearing God, God will be hearing me. If I won't let any of His words fall to the ground in my life, God will not let any of my words fall to ground either in heaven. Hear God, God will hear you. Verse 29, all who prosper on earth will eat and bow down. What's going on here is saying each one will worship. All who prosper on earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before Him. They'll worship. Even those who can't get their life together will be able to worship. Their descendants will serve Him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come and tell a people yet to be born about His righteousness, what He has done. You know, how is Christianity going to be passed to the next generation? Well, our kids and our kids' kids will be hearing from us that God hears, God answers, God shows up. In other words, worship is the destiny of reality. In Philippians chapter 2, because Christ laid down His life, you know, He was, so to speak, forsaken for us. Because Christ was willing to go to the cross for us, it says He is exalted. He's risen from the dead. I'm sorry, disclaimer for Easter. Jesus is risen, okay? But He's risen. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And our kids and our kids' kids need to know this. They want to know it. They want to know how reality really works, and worship is the goal of reality, God's goal, and He's moving towards that. It says, therefore He's exalted so that at His name every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So you could do that today by your choice, by your free decision. Because God's Spirit has been speaking to you, you've heard His words, you know He's real, and you trust him. Or you can wait till then. It's too late, but now's the time to call on the name of the Lord, to cry out to him, and find new life in him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for being who you are, a covenant-making, living God who hears and speaks. Lord, hear us now. Each person who's here at CIV, whether it's through the Zoom connection or here within my voice on campus. Lord, and if there's someone here that you've never heard their voice before, they've never cried out to you before, may they cry out to you and announce, I believe Jesus is risen. And I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, the forgiver of my sins, now and forever, and enter into covenant with him and his people at CIV. Hear their prayer, Lord, and may they hear your voice of confirmation and assurance of salvation, that you keep your promises, you fulfill your prophecies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. We're going to take some time to reflect on your awesome message. I encourage you during this time that you think about how Psalm 22 might help with whatever you're going through right now, whatever afflictions or troubles. We encourage you to take up Psalm 22 as your prayer to God. And as you do that, also, we encourage you to fill out the connection card. Tell us about yourself. Tell us how we can be praying for you. And if you are a member already, we ask that you fill out the membership renewal. You can find that on the card, or there's a separate tab on the website. And if you're not a member, we ask that you consider joining our family. In our church family, where we pray with each other, we lift each other up, we encourage each other. There's a checkbox for you to mark learning more about what membership is. You can sign up for our Discover CIV class, and we pray that you really consider that. So let's take a moment. Son for redemption Christ who am I? And I don't have a contest for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. What I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. The Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Before us, to remind ourselves of the story. receive your favor and grace that you give to those who believe in you and who love you, Lord. No matter what our trouble, no matter what our trial, no matter what adversity, Lord, you are with us. You go before us. You stand behind us, Lord. And that's the promises that we trust in. We say this, Lord. His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in your children, in your children. His favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, in your children, in your children. Love us enough.